They are scattered throughout human folklore and history. They inhabit fairy tales, movies, video games, and retail shelves. They decorate our yards and gardens, and have done so for centuries. But it may surprise one to learn that they also have connections to the birth of chemistry and modern medical science, and may date back as far as ancient Greece. Where did they come from? Why are they still here? And what, if anything, do they want? Join us tonight as we discuss the history and mythology of gnomes. That's today on Hey Strangeness. Hey everybody, my name is Aaron, and this week I did not produce a fake commercial as our transition from the intro. To be completely honest, we've been super busy, so instead we put together a quick State of the Union to let you know what we've been up to. Strange Conversations is a live interview show that we air about once a week on Instagram. Our most recent episode featured Jordan and Ryan of Campfire, Tales of the Strange and Unsettling, and on Tuesday, February 8th, I'll be hanging out with Seth Breedlove of Small Town Monsters. Yes, I'm unreasonably excited about this. You can watch all previous episodes of Strange Conversations on Instagram and YouTube. Our merch store is now live on Etsy, and we are so happy to have the opportunity to partner with, so far, three amazing artists. Mike G of Art of the Morning Star is the mind behind El Mothman, a Mexican Loteria-inspired interpretation of, who else, the Mothman. Skinhead Fabo of San Antonio created our first Hand and Eye logo, which you can pick up as a sticker, commissioned by Sarah's sister Alex, who is a huge supporter. And our friend Joss Rose of Fright Life Paranormal created the simplified black and white version of the Hand and Eye, our Fright logo, available as a shirt and, hopefully by the time you hear this, a coffee mug. We couldn't have done this without the work of these amazing artists, and we're so excited to collaborate with these and other creators in the future. Finally, you can catch us every day on Instagram for paranormal destinations, books, announcements about upcoming interviews, and a lot of other stuff. A year ago, Hey Strangeness was just a book blog, but because of your support and the way we've been embraced by this amazing community, it's blossomed into so much more. Sincerely, from both of us, thank you. Thank you for tuning into Hey Strangeness. This is our 13th episode.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah, 13. Welcome.
Welcome to you. Hello.
We've been really deep in Mesoamerican lore for the last month or so.
We have.
Yeah. And it's been very informative and educational.
It's been pretty cool.
Yeah. We've learned a lot. But I don't think my brain can take much more right now. After the whole Quetzalcoatl, Owlman,
Nahual
thing, I just need a break. So we're gonna take a hard left turn, steer completely away from Mesoamerica altogether. We're actually leaving the Central American continent and sailing across the pond to the misty moors of Europe.
What part of Europe?
I'm glad you asked. All the parts of Europe. Today, friends, we're talking about the magical and storied history of gnomes! Gnomes.
I just want to say right now, I'm probably going to say they were gnomes. Gnomes. In that exact way.
Okay.
Probably because when you told me about the episode title, that was my first thought because it was just funny.
They were gnomes.
Do you know what that's in relation to?
Isn't it cones?
Yeah, that's the original line. They were cones. But it's the way he says them.
Is it from The Wedding Singer?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
I might say that a couple times.
Gnomes.
They were gnomes.
What do you know about gnomes, Sarah?
I know they're supposed to be very, very small, little, devilish fiends.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. The first time I probably came in, I guess, contact with gnomes. My first experience with them was, like, reading about them in books.
Okay.
Fantasy. Fairy tale books.
Okay.
What about you?
So I didn't know a whole lot about gnomes, honestly, before we started doing research for this. And I forget what brought us to this topic. You actually suggested it.
I think your idea was unicorns.
Yeah, I was thinking
and
unicorns.
I think we had just finished shopping at a department store and there were a lot of gnome things and you were very surprised and shocked at the amount.
Yeah.
And so when you said unicorns later, we were talking about potential episode ideas. I was just like, hey, gnomes. We were talking about gnomes. They're everywhere.
A lot of gnome stuff around right now. Yeah. And I don't know if this is if they're regaining popularity, like if the trend is picking up steam, the gnome trend.
They're cute. I will admit.
And as they are very cute. And as we're going to talk about, they've been around as decor items for a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
But I just feel, maybe I'm
noticing them more now. I mean, lawn gnomes. I feel like lawn gnomes have been
consistently
like popular as like a garden trend. Because, I mean, we have lawn gnomes. Plant gnomes.
We do. When we moved into our current apartment, which has a yard, some friends got us a set of lawn gnomes as a yard warming gift.
One of them is little buddies. I think there's four of them.
There's four. One is smoking a pipe. One is smoking a bong. One is drinking from like a beer stein, and then the other one has a bottle of wine.
Oh yeah, they're all having a good time.
They're all
out there.
The party gnomes.
They're all having a great time.
So I learned recently that gnomes are prevalent in the mythology of many, many European countries, Germany, Iceland, Ireland, Switzerland, and France, just to name a few. They start showing up in literature in the 1600s to late 1500s in the writing of an alchemist, not a scientist, an alchemist, which we're going to talk a little bit more about, named Paracelsus. How would you pronounce that, do you think? I think it's like Latin.
Paracelsus. I have no idea.
Yeah. So he was a guy who, he called himself an alchemist, but he was also a scientist. And gnomes were, according to him, one of the four elemental beings, which represented earth. That was the gnomes. They were the earth spirit. Mm-hmm. Water, which are the Undine? How do you pronounce that?
I have no idea.
D-I-N-E. That's a cool word.
Undine.
Air, which was the sylph, and fire, which was the salamander.
Ooh.
Yeah. So gnomes, being the earth spirit, were apparently able to move through the ground in the way a fish moves through water. Kind of cool.
Underground.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're supposed to have underground tunnels and homes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's the whole deal is with the other three, the Undine, the sylph, and the salamander, but now I'm curious. That might be one to look into at another time.
Yeah.
According to FolkloreThursday.com, the name gnome, the name itself likely derives from the Latin genomos, meaning earth dweller. I've read other articles and things that said it's also associated like with the word gnosis, meaning knowledge. So that could be. Maybe it's both. Paracelsus was also likely inspired in his writings by descriptions of pygmies as portrayed in the Iliad and other parts of Greek mythology. Yeah. So while gnomes aren't present as we think of them in Greek mythology, they definitely have some roots there, sort of like werewolves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Colin and the, yeah.
When you think of gnome, what size instantly comes to your brain?
I'm thinking like...
I always thought like potato size, like maybe like two big potatoes on top of each other, maybe at the tallest, not including the hat.
Yeah, the hat's...
The hat doesn't count, but...
I guess I imagine a total height with hat of 2 to 3 feet, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like that would be...
About up to my knee.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, a couple of feet.
Okay, with the hat.
With the hat, okay. Yeah. Okay, I don't like my gnomes too big. No, that's a good question.
I don't like my gnomes.
I like my gnomes like I like my coffee. Short and with a hat. Anyway. So the pygmies of Greek mythology. No, this is a really good question. Important question. How big are they? Where do they go? No, it's important. The Greek pygmies are often equated with fairies or elves. Now, fairies, the fae, that's a whole...
Wow, that's a lot. That's a whole other...
Whole another thing.
I could talk about that forever.
Yeah. Some of my research into gnomes took me into fae territory because who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they're all the same thing. There are also theories that the fae are djinn. Maybe the djinn are demons. Maybe they're responsible for cases like Skinwalker Ranch and maybe some combination of all these things. I don't know. And that's why we decided not to go too far down the fae path, because it connects to so many different things. It's a lot. It's a whole lot. It deserves its own episode if we ever get around to it. Just deserves an appreciable amount of time. Yeah. But yeah, so we talked a little bit about where the term gnome comes from, going back to the Greek. And the Greek pygmies are actually really cool. I did want to mention them a little bit. They were believed to be short, little humanoid creatures living in Africa, India, Scythia, and Thrace. Pygmies looked like people, but smaller, and they were locked in an eternal struggle with cranes.
Ooh, like the big birds with the long beaks?
Yes, just actual birds. Cool. The story was that the cranes would migrate into pygmy lands.
Cool, but...
I mean, I think it's cool. The war of the birds and the pygmies. I don't know why it's just like a bunch of tiny people fighting birds. Like, it has the potential to be extremely epic and also like really funny. It's a really funny image of just. I'd like to get someone to illustrate that. Just tiny people fighting birds. We should reach out to some of our artist friends and see if any of them like. Maybe we could just donate them the idea. Like, hey, you can have it. We just want to see it.
So it'll be like. You don't fuck with cranes, man.
You don't fuck with cranes. Good job, Morty. You fuck with cranes. Now we gotta switch to a new reality. But yeah, the cranes would apparently migrate into pygmy lands during the winter and consume their resources. So kind of like the grasshoppers in A Bug's Life a little bit. So the pygmies hated cranes, and they were always at war with them. I just want to see tiny people fighting birds. Let's see. What is this? What is this note that I wrote for myself? Oh, okay. Paracelsus. I wrote a lot of notes about Paracelsus. Philippus Aureolus Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim.
That was hot.
19. Did you like that?
Yes, I did.
You want a kiss?
No.
Okay. 1943 to 1541, who called himself Paracelsus. So that was his actual name. Philippus Aureolus Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim.
I can't believe you even tried to do that. That's awesome.
I did it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Large print, folks.
You did. I did notice that it was bigger.
Yeah, this section of my notes is...
Happy 34th, by the way.
I know. My God. That's why this episode is a week late. This week was my birthday, and I gave myself the gift of sloth. I just didn't want to do anything. And then there was a freeze, and then our schedule got changed up. I'll probably take this part out. So this guy was actually pretty important to modern science and medical science. He pioneered the use of things like arsenic, mercury, and lead as medicine.
Those are poisons?
Yes. Paracelsus believed that anything in the right quantity could be a medicine, and that if you have too much of it, that's when it becomes a poison. Obviously, that is not correct. But I did read that arsenic is still used to treat certain infections, according to this article that I read. So he kind of got us started on that. He also invented a form of opium tincture. Opium, the addictive drug that has been around for a long, long time and has probably ruined countless lives. But again, this was very early in the scientific establishment. This is like the 1500s. So you gotta give credit to the guy for at least trying to do science.
Okay.
You know, even though he was poisoning people and getting them addicted to drugs. He also believed in gnomes.
They were gnomes.
Gnomes. There's an old fairy tale called The Gnome from the Brothers Grimm. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very, very long. But the summary is that a king... had three daughters, and he had a magical tree that if you ate from this tree, you would be teleported underground or something. And one day his daughters were like, "Oh, let's have an apple. I'm sure it's not." Did I say apple tree?
I think you said just apple. Wait, what?
We had a tree that was an apple tree.
What?
Let's start over. So there's this king that had an apple tree, and if you ate from this apple tree, you would be transported underground. One day his daughters, he had three little daughters, they ate from the tree and they disappeared. So then he was like, "Oh, someone go find my princess daughters." And these three huntsmen showed up, according to the fairy tale. And so they went out into the woods to try to find the three daughters, and they found a castle in the woods with food in it. And so they stayed the night. And then two of them went out in the morning to continue looking for the princesses. And one of them stayed behind. And yet this is about a gnome. And then, a little short guy, a gnome, showed up at the castle and was like, hey, I want some bread. So there's some back and forth and back and forth, but basically the gnome beats the shit out of two of these huntsman guys, like beats them half to death. And then the third brother is like, well, no, I'm going to kick your ass, Mr. Gnome. So he fights him and wins. And then the gnome is like, please stop kicking my ass. I will take you underground and show you where the princesses are. So they do. And then there's some more stuff about dragons, and the king has two of the brothers, the huntsmen, hung while he lets the third one marry one of his daughters. So, yeah, the story is called The Gnome, but it's really more about a guy and some dragons and
some princesses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My point was, though, that we have a piece of classical literature where the gnome is just kind of hanging out in the background, kind of just being a mischievous little guy.
Okay.
And getting into fist fights with people if they don't give him enough bread. So yeah, it really isn't about gnomes. It really isn't about gnomes. But it does teach us that if you can take a gnome in a fist fight, he will help you save a princess. I probably should have left this out. This is really weird. But it does. It also does have the association with things that are underground. We talked about them being ground spirits. The princesses were underground. The gnome knew how to get there. Seemed like something to include. We mentioned a little while ago that gnomes have been popular as decorative items for a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
I really started noticing it around Christmas of 2021. Are gnomes historically Christmas decor? Did I miss something there?
I mean, like I said, I feel like they've been pretty consistent as like a lawn ornament, lawn figurine to have.
Yeah.
I've seen them on lawns, just hanging out on the front porch or just on the front yard by a tree.
I don't
remember when they started being a part of every holiday, though. Not to say that they're specifically Christmas, because they were probably, if there was a gnome out on a yard or a porch or something, they were probably out there year round. But, like, I've never seen Valentine's gnomes. I've never seen Easter gnomes. I've never seen Christmas gnomes. Like, it was always a classic red hat, blue pants, red shirt, white beard, garden gnome.
Yeah. And that's what we've been noticing lately, is these really specific
holidays.
Like, we found Easter gnomes
today.
At the store.
With eggies.
With eggs. It's a whole thing, apparently.
I don't remember when that started being a thing. No. I don't know.
Here is a segment from YouTube of a man that has over two... Oh.
Get that premium!
I'm not paying for YouTube premium. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Like, it's YouTube. I'm not doing it. Here is a man with over 240 gnomes in his yard.
One or two, kind of hiding in the undergrowth.
They are obsessed. I think it's
the first. Just walk out in his garden and just
look at him. He's so cute.
These are just people. Here's the guy. Here he is with his gnomes. That's a lot of gnomes.
So when did this kind of love of gnomes become... you'd wake up in the middle of the night chasing a dragon, but I've got to get some more. I need some more in my life.
Like our little gnomes.
This is a guy in Cornwall, England.
Probably about 3 months after getting my first one.
Wow. Okay.
That's not a gnome, that's a deer.
That's a deer.
Look, and that's not a gnome, that's Mrs.
Claus. That's
not a gnome.
That's Santa Claus. Is Santa Claus a gnome?
It is. It started off, it's like mum and dad.
There's an Easter one.
Yeah.
They've got uncles, aunties, cousins.
And if you don't mind me asking,
they're under a mushroom. Oh my god.
Bride and groom gnomes.
Look! The pride gnomes!
Pride gnomes? Cool.
Not very keen on them, especially when.
Here's one with a top hat.
Really
ooh, those are the little... What are the guys that are outside of the palace?
Oh, the...
They're palace guard gnomes.
Palace guards, yeah.
I guess palace guards.
So, I don't know why I thought that was worth including. I guess I just wanted an audio of some British people talking.
That's cool.
But it's a guy that has over 200 gnomes in his garden.
I don't want that many, but, like, I do want bigger ones. We have, like you said, the little tiny plant gnomes, but I do want a bigger one once we, you know, have an actual yard.
Yeah. We don't have a...
And I have supported buying these holiday gnomes, just so you know. If you wanna buy me an Easter gnome...
Should we lean into this holiday gnome thing? I would say we could be the holiday gnome people, but apparently a lot of people are already doing
this is
it.
A trend that I'm okay with following and spending money on.
Because we've seen them at Target, Home Goods,
Marshalls, TJ Maxx,
Ross. Speaking of retailers, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here, but since we're on the topic, let's see. Online retailers are stacked with gnomes. Target.com, if you search gnomes on their website, 603 results.
What was my guess, too, when you asked me about Target? I think I said 100.
Yeah. She was like, oh, maybe. You were like, maybe 100. 603 results for gnomes, if you search Target.com. At Home, formerly Garden Ridge, 117 results.
Okay.
Pier 1 Imports, 72 results.
Okay.
Walmart.com, over 1,000. Amazon.com, over 50,000. And if you had to guess where... what online retailer or online marketplace has the most search results for the term gnomes? What do you think it would be?
Probably Etsy.
It was Etsy.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Yes. And would you care to wager a gamble as to how many results are on Etsy for gnomes?
Well, I'm going to say at least 100,000 just because you said Amazon was 50.
271,584. Results for gnomes on Etsy.
All right. That's badass.
271,000.
That's badass.
On Etsy, where you can also find the Hey Strangeness merchandise store. So purely judging based on modern retail trends, purely, gnomes are at least somewhat ingrained in what you could maybe possibly call our collective unconsciousness.
Okay. Ooh.
And they're a part of modern mythology, too. I like to use the term modern mythology as opposed to, like, pop culture, I'm finding, as we do research on these episodes. Because someday, when we're all dead and gone...
it's a cooler way to say pop culture.
I think so. Because one day, when we're all dead and gone, and scientists are sifting through the ruins of our civilization, they're going to find Pokemon cards and stuff and be like, oh, did they worship Charizard? It's just going to happen.
Yes, we did.
Some of us did. But yeah, there are a lot of modern examples of gnomes. There's the Winklebottom episode of King of the Hill.
One of my favorites.
It's a really good one.
It's a really good episode.
You were playing one of your weird little games, and you broke him. That's the episode where Peggy Hill gets really into gnomes.
And exactly, she wants a yard fixture, because in Texas, I mean really anywhere, you know, you have to be proud of your yard and your lawn. So she can't grow anything, so she gets a fixture. The gnome. How cool is that?
Winklebottom. One of my favorite moments in that episode is when the neighbor is just jogging through the neighborhood and she sees Peggy's gnome and she like comes up to her and she's like, oh, you're in the gnome club now. You should get on the message boards and blah, 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 blah. And you're going to love all the gnome mythology. And then they take another poke at nerd culture because she's like, hey, have you heard of Babylon 5? And like, that's where the segment ends. There's a fair chance that like half the people listening to this don't even know what Babylon 5 is.
I was gonna say
it was a sci-fi show from that era, but there's also the underpants gnomes in South Park.
You can play them. I feel like they're in, what's the second one? Oh my god, Fractured but Whole.
Oh, they are in there, aren't they?
You battle them, you fight the gnomes.
That's right. Yeah. There's apparently a series of movies, children's movies, called Gnomeo and Juliet.
I know there was a cartoon recently that was like just gnome. I don't remember.
Oh yeah, 2016. Don't know anything about it.
No.
They pop up in video games a lot too. The Sims. Mm-hmm. You know a fair amount about
that. I love them in The Sims because they're exactly what you would think. You buy them for your property, and in the middle of the night while your Sim is sleeping, they are up to no good.
Ooh.
You have to appease the gnomes. It's so cool.
That's pretty cool, actually. Why would you buy something you have to appease?
It's a part of the story. Sometimes you find them.
They're like cats.
But yeah, that's a part of the story. You get the gnomes.
You get your cat and you bring it home and you're just constantly trying to...
I feel like they give you things. I don't remember.
Keep from making it angry enough to pee
on
the couch.
But like, that's how it starts. When you buy the gnome, it'll like move, like... you'll wake up the next day or whatever, and it'll be like you'll find the gnome in a different room than where you had placed him.
That's pretty neat. They're in RuneScape. I never played RuneScape. My sister's husband plays RuneScape. That's about all I know about it.
I don't know what that is, yeah.
Yeah, it's an old RPG. They're in Fortnite. We're old. We don't play Fortnite.
No, thank you.
They also show up in Battlefield 5, I guess, as collectible items.
Cool.
And,
of course,
Left 4 Dead 2, Noam Chomsky.
Yeah.
Noam Chomsky. And they're in the Harry Potter mythology, but not in the movies, right?
So they're in the books and they're in the video games. But no, I don't. I feel like they're not really mentioned in the movies. I'd have to rewatch. I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they are.
No.
We just rewatched a few of those. I don't remember gnomes being mentioned. But there is a segment in, you showed me a video of this on YouTube earlier.
Yeah, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the original little video game. I still remember doing that, where you just, that's because it's mentioned in the books, where you grab them from their little hole and you spin them around to confuse them and you toss them. And it's supposed to confuse them so that they can leave their yard. Because they're trying to get rid of them. Yeah, because they're trying to get in the vegetables.
The denoming.
Got to
begin the denoming. We asked our listeners on Instagram, because fair chance if a person listens to this, they follow us on Instagram. Last week, to tell us, what do you know about gnomes? I just threw that up in our story. And these are the replies that I got. I actually got a lot.
You did. I was excited about this.
Here we go. I didn't write down the names of the people who gave these responses because I didn't ask anybody's permission to say their name, and that would have taken a really
long
time.
But maybe you can guess.
That could be a fun game, yeah. Try to guess who these responses are from. Here we go. Beards is all I know. They aren't to be trusted. A gnome told me that I could save 10% with Travelocity. It's funny, like, we got that they're not to be trusted, but then you can also save a Travelocity from them. So, can you really? My former neighbor believes she built her house on land where gnomes lived. That's very so interesting. Cool. Yeah. David the Gnome was a real cool guy. I think that's another movie, isn't it?
I have no clue.
I don't know what that is. Someone else said, I know gnomes. Next person said, not nearly as much as I'd like to. This was, let's see, a double reply that I combined into one comment. Today's incarnation became popular in the 1800s from Germany. They are based on ancient Roman fertility god who had an oversized phallus.
Fun.
Okay, yeah. I didn't really look into that aspect of it.
The German aspect?
German
or
sex gnome. Would you like a sex gnome? If you make contact just right, you can kick them pretty far if you're under attack.
Okay.
Okay, that's good to know. Another one, they are evil. And then the last reply, they are not to be trifled with. That's very interesting, because that's what people say about the Fae, about fairies, and also djinn. Just don't mess with them. Don't stay away from them. You don't want to mess with them.
Let them be.
And that was three replies. They're not to be trusted, they're evil, they're not to be trifled with.
That's why I said you don't mess with them.
Interesting. So gnomes, they've been with us in their current form for at least 400 some years, popping up in literature in the late 1500s and the 1600s. You can trace them back much, much further if we go to the Greek pygmies. And whether in the form of fairy tales or garden decor or helpful video game NPCs or maybe, just maybe, real beings existing on some sort of dimensional plane which is so far beyond our comprehension, gnomes exist.
I would love that. I really would.
Yeah?
Like, I would love to believe that the little gnomes in our garden are having fun.
Yeah.
At night.
Hanging out at night? I tried to find one to bring inside just to kind of have around while we were recording this, and I couldn't find them. So maybe they've all
wandered?
Run off to other places. Cool. We watched I'm gonna completely go the other way now. We watched a video of alleged gnome sightings on YouTube today, and they were all really bad and stupid.
Horrible.
None of them were believable, I don't think. Right?
No.
Any piece of evidence, quote unquote, where the camera is constantly shaking, like, people don't film things that way. They don't film things just moving the camera around. Like, we don't do that.
I mean, you would if you were scared.
Maybe, but it's just so convenient to me, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so convenient. Whereas some of the more convincing video evidence we have of cryptids, i.e. the Patterson-Gimlin film, is fairly steady.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly steady. So that's where I am landing on this one. Gnomes are real, even if they're just a literary archetype.
I love it. I'm down.
Yeah.
I like the idea that they're these little folk.
Yep.
That just kind of are up to no good. If you mess with them, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Let them hang out in the garden.
But if you take them in a fist fight.
I've never had a gnome inside the house.
No.
I've never had one inside.
We should get some house gnomes.
I told you, yes.
If we're going to buy into this whole trend. Yeah.
I'm
here for it. Well, this was a fun little discussion. I was going for something shorter this time, a little simpler. We'll be back soon. with our next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to do a section for announcements, but I think I'm going to record a short segment about announcements for the commercial for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's a lot going on right now. That'll be easier.
Gnomes are real.
Gnomes are real. Thank you for tuning in to Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
I'm Sarah.
And gnomes are real.
Gnomes are real.
We will see
you.
Gnomes! You're fun. We will see you for our next episode here shortly. You can also catch us pretty much every day on Instagram. And don't miss our next live interview under Strange Conversations with Seth Breedlove of Small Town Monsters. I had to brag about that. I had to mention that. Okay, thank you. Bye.